This is Leo Babiu for KTWH, visiting today with two teachers from our Lake Superior School District. Usually when we have teachers on KTWH, it's about educational opportunities, special things that are going on with their students in and out of the classroom. And today, I think it's about time we check in about how the teachers themselves are doing. And to do that, I've got Dan Thewis and Kyle Chalupski. Welcome, guys, to KTWH Radio.
Thanks, Leo.
Thank you, Leo.
Definitely appreciate having you. Dan and Kyle, I think you're both at Two Harbors High School. Could you give us a little bit of a profile of yourself, what subjects you are teaching, and how long you've been at it in the profession? Oh, and this is Dan.
Yeah, hey, Dan Thewis here. I knew I was going to be on the radio, so I wore my best flannel. So I've been in special ed and social studies at Two Harbors High School. Started back in 2013, so I've worn both hats. 8th grade social studies in high school, special ed, primarily math right now.
Okay. And Kyle, if somebody asks me what you do, I say, well, it's like building trades. I don't know what kind of technical skills.
So I teach career and technical education for the high school kids. I also teach middle school shop class, and then I also teach now work-based learning in the afternoons. So I have students that now have jobs that they're actually collecting credit, working out in different industries, getting career exploration.
Does that require you leaving the building then and going to job sites?
Yep. I leave the building every day roughly by 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there, and I'm usually out visiting students or businesses, et cetera.
Okay. I appreciate a lot that you were willing to kind of be the people to respond on behalf of teachers. And obviously, I'm asking you questions for your own individual point of view. But there's just been so much that's happened in K-12 education since that COVID pandemic hit in 2020, never mind the bigger social trends going on, but there have been so many impacts as a result of that, all at time during pandemic measures where we had educational setbacks with those periods of online instruction, the various kinds of social isolation. And a lot's been talked about how that's affected students. But for teachers, I imagine, too, there's been a toll and effect on teachers, you know, your perception of your jobs and your careers. Can you either or both comment? How do you see the present and future situation for teachers? Are teachers getting paid enough, and are the intangible rewards enough to keep people like yourselves coming into the profession? I've seen reports of there being a looming teacher shortage. Wondered what your thoughts are on that, Kyle.
I would say that it's definitely had an effect on the teaching career choice. Any given day, there's lots of open jobs in Minnesota as to teachers because there's just a shortage of teachers along with substitute teachers. So when one of us is gone, there's a lot of time where we're covering other classes during our prep hours because there's not enough subs. It's the same thing as with teaching. Like, there's just not enough teachers to cover classes, so there's overloads. Yeah. There's, you know, and everything drastically changed during COVID, I would say. And afterwards, as we've been coming out of COVID, you're losing students to homeschooling, to other choices of schools. There's competition, and there's the teacher pay, which is not as admirable as students coming into the profession would like to think it should be. So I would say the pay is low. You know, state average is like, I think, 71 cents to the dollar of people of equal education, somewhere in there. There's a statistic. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but.
And of course, we have different generational demographics in terms of numbers. I thought the number of people enrolling in a number of four-year programs is going down in a lot of places. In particular, though, is there a drop in people who are choosing a career path, taking up teaching at the college level?
Absolutely.
The numbers are just flat out down. The number of graduates down, the number of people starting.
Absolutely. And one of the big things is obviously pay and pension. And that's two things that teachers are fighting right now with such an increase in everything costs more. You know, inflation. Cost of living and inflation and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're making less money than we were 2 years ago. We're still fighting our pensions, too, because that all changed in 89. And, you know,
and that's in a bigger landscape, though? That's a state-wide
issue? That's a state
issue.
Thing, yeah. That's a bigger landscape. And so this idea has created, I guess, the facts have created a shortage in education. And there's just not teachers out there, especially when it comes to subjects of special ed, foreign language, math. I don't know. There's some other ones out there, right?
Now, you mentioned COVID and going through that, Leo. you know, we put in a lot of hours at school when we were allowed, but most of our time at home. You know, I taught with my youngest in my lap, writing lesson plans, grading papers with a baby on my chest. So we went through a lot, but people had our back verbally. People tell me, hey, I'll put a coffee bar in the teacher's lounge for you. Well, now we're past COVID, and we're not feeling the same support. Yeah, all that seems to have dissipated from admin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was, we were great. You're rock stars. And here we are. You know, the other thing that has changed, I think, is the students. I just at lunch today, talking about a couple of skills students struggling with that high school teachers didn't anticipate seeing in a math class. And they're trying to find ways to remedy that. And so not only are they working on moving ahead, but they've got to figure out how to build back all in the same class period. You've got students that are missing certain aspects of a math skill and students that are ready to jump on the next thing. So teachers are trying to do both and in one class period.
There's only one classroom and one teacher. There's not enough of you to go around for that right. dichotomy in the class.
Right. So that's another layer to what's making teaching stressful.
Well, I just would like to note for folks just tuning in, we're speaking with teachers Dan Thewis and Kyle Chalupski today about teaching in general and the current situation for teachers in our Lake Superior School District. I know both of you are members of Education Lake Superior, not in negotiations.
Not teams. This year.
That's
this
correct.
Year?
Okay.
Correct.
But you're active union members and one of you, Dan, you're involved in an action committee, I believe.
Yeah. So the job that I volunteered for was to take the negotiation team's message, the things that we're asking for, negotiating for in our contract, to make that public knowledge so the community knows what teachers are asking for. Because as of 3 weeks ago, both local newspapers had no idea teachers were working on an expired contract. And we think that's kind of a big deal. And we need more people to understand where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the part of the festivities where I mentioned that I could be seen as having a bias because for 8 years I was a school board member. My goal always was to lift all boats, teachers, students, and look out for the public's interest. It's easy to say. It's a tough job doing negotiations. I think we'd all agree in this room that negotiations, collective bargaining is a process. And so, you know, admittedly, my concern is always that we pay attention to the legitimate roles and responsibilities of both sides of that collective bargaining process. And I don't hear you running down the district. I hear you saying that there are things that need to be thought about, maybe recommitted to in your mind, giving you the opportunity to share with the public that you're bringing lack of a contract to everyone's attention. But can you talk about, either one of you, about what you hope happens through public outreach? How do you hope the community responds? What do you hope that they learn?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's pretty straightforward. We'd like to have someone from the admin negotiation team or the school board say, hey, all right, ELS, let's get this thing settled even before mediation starts so we don't have to go to that next level and we don't have to drag this on any farther. That's what the end goal is for us. And people listening, people seeing stuff on Facebook or reading stuff in the newspaper, asking that school board member that represents them, hey, what's going on? What can you tell me? Here's what I'm hearing from the teachers, and have that conversation with the school board member, being motivated to, you know, maybe send more than an email, make that phone call to the school board member to get that perspective. They can get our perspective. We're trying to get that message out. They can call myself. They can call Kyle, email any one of us. But ideally, we'd like them to reach out to the school board as well to encourage them to get this done.
And I think what we'd like to see is people understand that we're not asking for astronomical numbers, but what we're asking for is to be treated fair contract and, you know, bring us up to the level of, you know, that we've lost over many years, you know, just in the last 10 years. We're, I don't know what the figure is. I think it's 9% or something like that. 9.24%. We're low.
Relative to your peers in similar districts,
relative
Kyle,
to or? Relative to cost of inflation, you know, cost of living inflation, we're about 9.2% low for the last 10 years. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't gotten raises over the last 10 years because, you know, we average
2 point something and change average increases.
Yeah, but it still left us short of trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, and ironically, last year, the state legislature's boost to the school formula aid for 2 years was called an historic level, but it was during a period of similar or higher inflation.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's not lost on you.
It really, and there were other parts of that legislature that could have happened that didn't end up happening, you know, where a portion of that money was supposed to be earmarked for teachers to be able to negotiate higher salaries, and it never got, that part of it got dropped, so to speak.
Yeah, there are a lot of competing interests and costs, and I am no longer aware of what any of those factors are, guys. I just want to know if you'd characterize among your concerns. I heard you saying it, Dan, that we didn't exactly state it aloud, but you were already set to go to mediation. But there are opportunities to talk right now to come to the table, both parties, right?
Yeah, to my knowledge, and you guys have experienced this longer than me, we don't have to wait for someone from the state to come mediate for us. We could settle this tomorrow, as far as I know. That's correct, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's set negotiation times, but absolutely. I mean, both parties can call and say together, all right, let's have another round before we try to go to negotiation.
Yeah, whether it's email or phone, things can be.
Right? Absolutely.
My people can talk to your people,
absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, and I got the question, why so much so fast? I mean, we kind of just hit Facebook there 2 weeks ago with a bunch of stuff, and some people are taken back by it. And we're 215 days on an expired contract. That means no increased wages for people that are experiencing things like healthcare go up, groceries go up, and so that's why it's so hard so fast. It's hard on a lot of people right now.
And I would say technically on the North Shore, we're not as vocal to the public as to what's happening when it comes to negotiations and that type of stuff. I think this is the first time that we've really ever come together and said something needs to change, and it needs to change this round.
My historical experience was that neither party said anything aloud in a public setting, if possible, if that would make everything go along smoothly behind the scenes. I wonder, is it fair to, can I ask this question? Are you optimistic, or how would you call your attitude about whether you think good faith negotiations are going to reach an agreement? I have to hope that that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I'm optimistic that we'll meet somewhere. I know the majority of staff where we're at, just or specifically where the district is at, we're not ready to accept that as the numbers that they're giving us, and we need more to get up to par, essentially.
Are there any particular sticking points of issues that are a must for to be dealt with aside from just overall compensation?
We've negotiated some with benefits too. The district, what we wanted from benefits, the district wasn't willing to do. It's understandable because it's going to cost money, you know. But I think our biggest point right now is probably our pay percentages at this point in time.
Okay.
I mean, we would love healthcare raised too, you know. I mean, those costs are astronomical.
Yeah, so. For anyone that doesn't know, what they call the healthcare rate of inflation has exceeded the consumer price index like 2, 3, 5-fold some years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been like a freight train that has become an express train.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be clear, Leo, on the wage increase, Kyle mentioned that 9.24% number that we would need to break even with inflation.
Maybe that's the last word I have on the subject, guys, the specifics.
Yeah.
But I would like to wrap up and get some reflection from both of you on what your thoughts are for education in our district and around the country, considering the situation that you just described. What does our society have to do to make sure that the teaching profession is a draw to people that have the kind of passion that you have for the hard and satisfying work of teaching? Where are we headed, and what has to happen?
I definitely think that pay and benefits have to be increased in order for it to be really not a glamorous, for it to be intriguing to students to go to college for. There are still people that are going into the profession that obviously they do it for the kids. We all do it for the kids. But there's a lot of work that goes into it, and it's a lot of stuff outside of your contracted time and work time that you're trying to prepare and get ready for school and classes, and that takes a lot. And I think the pay is a big deterrent of people going into it. And it used to be that back in the day, the great part was, yeah, well, teachers are underpaid, but their benefits are so good. And that has drastically changed, specifically since with retirement in 89, and then again in 2013, there was big drastic changes to pensions, and that has been astronomically reduced as to what we should expect. And then pay at the same time has just kind of stunted. So hopefully we get something to change as a whole.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it has to be recognized and dealt with locally, statewide, mm-hmm. might even be a national component.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Dan?
Yeah. And your question was, basically, how do we get people to go into teaching or stay in teaching?
Yeah. And basically, what kind of decisions do we have to make as a society facing up to the reality of what it's going to take to make that happen?
Yeah. You know, I think we're a little bit of an anomaly here as far as the nationwide trends go. I absolutely love coming to work every day, seeing Kyle bebopping down the hallway. You know, it's always fun. I have great colleagues, great students, great staff, great community. I think overall, statewide, nationwide, again, I think we're a little bit different, but we got to trust teachers again. I don't think the institution of education is trusted enough. And I think people are apprehensive to go into a business or a job where they're not going to be trusted to do well and to succeed. Everyone's going to be cynical and skeptical of, oh, you're doing it because this, you want to get your perspective out there. You know, how are you going to do that in algebra? I don't know. I think that trust.
You're kind of reflecting on the signs of the times, the cynicism and the suspect motives that a lot of people are judged by.
Yeah, and I fully agree with Kyle. Compensation and everything that he described is spot on, but there's another layer there too. Why would I get paid this to deal with all of this?
Well, and I think one of the other things that people always talk about, but teachers have summers off. That's it. That's a huge thing. But teachers have summers off.
I might have heard that once or twice.
Right?
Yeah.
You always hear that. But teachers have summers off. We also don't get paid for those 3 months.
Right.
And like every other, the difference is if you're in, say you're in a trades program, right? Say you're a carpenter or a plumber or a pipe fitter. When there's no work, you get laid off and you collect unemployment.
Yeah.
When a teacher has no work over the summer, we're not allowed to. It's against the law for us to collect unemployment. So there's stuff like that that make it hard. Yeah, you can go get another job, but as a teacher, what else? I mean, yeah, you can go get a job at a restaurant or a bar or auto parts store or whatever, but it's not gonna make up the difference.
Unless we somehow go to a 365 day a year school calendar, in which case we're remaking the whole profession.
Hey, I'm down going to school year round. Yeah. I have no problem going to school year round.
I'm just kind of curious if folks that I know that there are year-round models, but do they really involve the same number of instructional days just with breaks?
They do.
That's correct.
They do. It really, it just puts breaks at different times of the year.
Well, we could go on. I'm learning a lot, guys. I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Kyle Chelupsky.
Hell
thank
yeah.
you for what you do. The FCC approves that word. And Dan Thewis, thank you too.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again, Leo. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I did reach out to district administration for any comment on the particular labor negotiation issue, so they haven't gotten back to me yet. Maybe there will be more on this to come. But I wish you guys all the best. Thanks for joining us today on KTWH.
Thanks for having us, Leo.
This is Leo Baybue, and you are listening to KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.